We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's turn to our foundation text again. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn, let's hold that one there. We'll come to that, come back to that one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is 12 rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. And we're going to read on down to verse 10. This is really a foundation text too as well. 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 12, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This kind of reminds us of the background of this as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, and it reads, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish. You know, I could boast, because I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this being boasting, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. So in other words, you don't want to be, he doesn't want to be thought of more highly than he ought to be thought of. He said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, there was given, for this reason rather, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He says the reason again, to keep me from exalting myself. We would say that today from getting the big head. Self-pride. Self-exaltation, which we see a ton of, especially in sports and all the chest bumping and thumping and all of that. Verse 8, concerning this, I implored, which means to beg and beseeched the Lord three times that it might leave me. What is the it? Go back to verse 7. This thorn in the flesh, comma, a messenger, angelos in the Greek, of Satan, an angel of Satan, was sent to torment Paul. Why? To keep him humble. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, the messenger of Satan, I begged the Lord three times that it might leave me. And verse 9, and he, who is that? The Lord, that he begged in verse 8, said to me, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to take it away right away. No, didn't say that. No, we want the Lord to say that every single time we're going through something rough. But what he says to us, to Apostle Paul, and he's saying to us, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, my favor that you didn't earn, that I'm showing you, is enough for you to get through this. And every time I read that verse, I can always say that's a word for somebody. That's always a word for a few folks in here, that my grace is enough. Because basically, everyone through here, in here, is going through something. Yes, sir. And so he wants us to know that my grace is enough for you. For power, now notice he didn't say for grace is perfected, because grace is power. I don't know if you caught that or not. He used power as a synonym for grace. So, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, I think King James may say strength, something like that, is made perfect in weakness. And remember, weakness is lacking the strength and capacity that is necessary, meaning in your strength And in your power, in my strength, in my power, in our own strength, we don't have the capacity to make it through this. And that's why you see many people fail mightily. They're gritting their teeth, thinking that they are strong enough to get through this. You hear people say, I'm going to beat cancer. I'm going to fight it and I'm going to beat it. If cancer doesn't kill you, it's not because you are strong enough to win over cancer. Amen. It was the grace of God that reached for you and caused you to make it through that cancer. Because apart from his grace, cancer wins every single time. So we're looking at the power of God, the grace of God. He's letting him know again that the reason I'm not going to do this from verse 8, you begged me 3 times, and the reason I'm not going to take it away is because my grace that I'm showing you, my favor, the blessings, the glory, the favor that I'm showing you is enough for you to make it through this. Because power is perfected in the fact that you lack the strength and capacity that's necessary to make it through. And then that's something. Because you lack the strength, then my power is made perfect in that. Well, you know what is couched in there is the idea that you must understand that you don't have the strength to go through it. And therefore, you'll transfer, if you will, your faith and hope and confidence in you and your strength. You'll transfer that, which is what faith is, into trusting God in that. I can't do this, but you can. I can't get me through this, but you can. So the Apostle Paul, understanding that in the rest of verse 9, says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses. Because verse 5, he said, verse 5, on behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not. Verse 6, for I do not wish to boast, for I will not be foolish. So I don't want to boast about these visions that he talked about that he had in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations or visions. In verse 9, he says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses. Not the visions, but the weaknesses. My lacking the strength and capacity that is necessary to get through this, I'd rather boast about that. Why? Because he says, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now I'm ready for anything. My strength is extremely limiting, but his strength is unlimited. And that's why we could say with Apostle Paul that I just drew a blank. Philippians 4:13. Yeah, I can do all things. Drew a blank. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm ready for anything, but it's through Christ who strengthens me. So verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We talked about weaknesses and why we opened up that verse concerning judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart is because we don't know how to be vulnerable. We don't want other folks to know that we have weaknesses. We don't want them to show, so we keep them covered up. We talked about the fact that when you cover up your weaknesses over time, there's a smoldering anger and sadness that's underneath there because you're not ever being vulnerable to get the help that you really need. And so there's anger, there's sadness, and then there's fear. And then we said in our notes, ultimately we find a soul that doesn't know how to be vulnerable, how to be exposed, how to be weak, and trust God and others fully. If we don't know how to be vulnerable, if we don't know how to be open, how to be weak, how to be exposed, then you'll never get the help that you need. We've talked about this many a time. Even from God. And by the way, saints, that's a function of what?
pride. That's a function of pride.
Everybody in the world has weaknesses. Every single human being. Because of sin, you have weaknesses. You have deficits. You have shortcomings. Every single human being. To hide that is ludicrous. It's a lie. To think that you go around here can handle any situation. Can't do it. And so we need to allow the word of God to judge those thoughts and intentions, to break us open. So now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Be vulnerable. Be exposed. Be open. Let the word of God heal. Verse 12, for the word of God is living. Some say quick, some say alive. It is living. Remember, the tense indicates it is constantly active, having vital power in itself. So it is living and it is active, or somehow powerful, but the word is energos, which is energy. We get our word energy from. The word of God is living and alive, and it's energized, energetically, if you will, efficacious, if you will. Energetically efficacious, meaning it is effective and operative. So the word of God is living, alive, and active, energized, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge, here we go, judge, which means to expose, sift through, analyze all of our thoughts, that which we think about, that which we ponder, even the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God can discern, it even can analyze that, and the intentions, conceptions of our heart. As we have said for the last 2 months, thank God for the word of God, because we're going to cover ourselves up, or our finite abilities cannot get into our intentions and thoughts. We barely know ourselves, let alone trying to judge somebody else. And so having said that, we talked about that the word of God reveals our true nature, and we're learning to find out who are we, and what it is that God has made us, who he's made us, why he's made us this way, and things of that nature. We talked about driving the gospel beneath the surface so that we can get it out of our heads and down into our hearts so that we can get into the nourishment of the word of God. Now, we talked about the allowing the word of God to expose who we really are, because of sin, we don't know ourselves that well. We know parts of us. But we said that we're more like a deep cavern, a big old cave with unexplored parts in it that are deep and dark, that haven't been explored or looked at. And so therefore, in those corners of the caves of our lives are areas that have never been explored, never been looked at, and therefore no healing has ever gone forth. It's never been exposed to the point that you can even begin to know that you even have a problem. And so we want the word of God then to shine the light into all parts of our life. So we talked about using the information of knowing what type of person we are. We talked about that God gave each and every one of us various personalities. You know, you may be this type of personality. I may be a different type. Someone else may be a different type. And understanding the fact that your personality type came from God. It wasn't something you ordered. You weren't born yet. So part and parcel of you being born into this world, there came a certain personality type that God gave you. And that means that's why some people are driven in this area, but not in others.
Some people are quote unquote workaholics. Others, you can barely get them out of bed. Some people are great in math, but are terrible in history. Some people are people persons, and others want to hide in a corner. You know, all of those are personalities and traits that God has given every last one of us. And because of the type of personality that we are, then there are various reasons why we do the things we do. Our intentions are different. Our purposes are different. That which we deliberate and thinking about doing, that which we're driven and hot about, really like, and things that we're cold against. Though all of those things want to get to discover so that we can find out in whatever areas that we're lacking and what areas we're thriving, we want to combine that to become a better you, if you will. And again, I get nervous saying that because this is not a motivational speaking. This is not. What this is the fact that God made you this way, then you want to be that best personality. Because God does nothing haphazardly, capricious, or whimsical. So if he made you an A1 personality, we just numbered them out, we're going to go over 9 of them. If he made you that personality, you need to be the best A1 that you can be. And that A1 personality is a person who is living out that personality to the glory of God. And they're learning to do that even more so to the glory of God. Now, we talked about this over the last few weeks, is that finding out what personality type you are, that this information is to be used for what? Yes, and we had a little cute little saying, but this information should be used for transformation. For transformation. Transformation in the sense of sanctifying ourselves for the Lord, meaning that we're moving away further from the things of the world and unto the things of God. We want this information to be used for a transformation, a spiritual transformation, which will result in bringing God glory. And so we asked about the question, how do we use this information of finding out what personality type we are? And we talked about two things. One, we need to see this quote unquote self-knowledge, knowledge of self, see this as a part of the sanctification process. And again, sanctification again is to move away from the things of the world, all the attractions, all the desires and things of that nature of the world, and closer to God. Secondly, we're to see this information of identifying our personality type as a diagnosis and not a treatment. As a diagnosis and not a treatment. So let's pick up with that right there. So this is going to be just notes for a little bit to kind of set everything up. So let's talk about that, seeing and identifying your personality type, to see that as a diagnosis and not a treatment. So I have here that Christians who are new to this, and I believe many Christians are, to identifying whatever type of personality they have, they are new to this, they might start to see every new glimpse about themselves as a sign of transformation. And there is healing that comes when we connect another dot. Ooh, I understand a little bit more about myself. But as we're seeing wounds that have never been addressed before, we need to be careful that we don't rush into and think, wow, this is the cure. We need to see it as a diagnosis. So as with any diagnosis, that is only the first step of the healing process. Is that a fair statement? It's only the first step. It says a deeper self-awareness is only the first step for more effective soul / heart / mind and emotion and mental care. The first step in more effective soul care, heart care, mind care, if you will, emotional care.
Personality type. Getting your personality typed, if you will, is a tool that we're going to use to find sins to repent of, wounds to be healed, and fears to be controlled. That's the reason. Sins to be repented of, wounds to be healed, and fears to be controlled. Do I need to repeat that? Sins to repent of, wounds to be healed, and fears to be controlled. So identifying your personality type is to be a tool for that reason. To expose sin. To bring about wounds that have not yet healed. We talked about that. There are wounds that happen when you're a child and you may be 60 years old like myself and you still haven't been dealt with it. Still hasn't been dealt with. So this is to bring about sins to be repented of, wounds to be healed, and fears to be comforted. And by the way, identifying a personality type, our reason as Christians is going to differ from the world. It's going to look different. For the world, they're using it to find their true, authentic self in a vacuum. Not for the glory of God, just in a vacuum. A secular humanistic worldview says that healing means finding your authentic self and living out of that reality, out of your authentic self. So it's all about you. We talked about a secular humanistic worldview places man at the center of that doctrine, if you will. Whereas a biblical worldview places God at the center. So a secular humanistic worldview says that healing means finding your authentic self and living out of that reality. But Christians, our view is going to be living out our new creation selves, if you will. Because if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. And so we are living out of our new creation selves insofar as we are truly living out our new life in Christ Jesus. So when you talk about wounds that have not yet been addressed, sin not repented of, fears that are going uncomforted, and even though that we are in Christ Jesus, if that's going on, those are major hindrances for us to live out as new creatures in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? We've been raised to walk in newness of life. We're new creatures. Well, we come in this new creation, if you will, status. We come into it carrying a ton of baggage. I mean, we got suitcases and we got whole Samsonite luggages. I mean, we got whole, you know, the whole thing, the little cosmetic bag, the shaving kit bag. We got all of that under both arms. We come in with a lot of baggage. And so you're not going to just automatically be this Christian new creation walking right off the rip. And I said, your new creation as far as your standing with God, but you walking in that, boy, that's going to take a minute. There's a lot of weed whacking. Back in the day, they had a sickle. Now they just got a weed whack pointer from the start of it. But back then, you had to swing that big old sickle just to clear all of the, you know, all of the stuff in the way. That's what the Holy Ghost has to do in our lives. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of weeds and thick grass and crabgrass and dandelions and just weeds of all kinds in our lives. And if you think of it that way, in a grass or a field that looks like that, there's all kind of undiscovered pieces of parcel of ground in all of that weed. That's our lives. It takes the word of God. It takes something outside of yourself to even know you. That's what sin did. It knocked out that ability for us to even know us. How in the world are you going to know somebody else? How are you going to judge somebody else's? Please.
You got enough to deal with here. Thank God for the Word of God. Because if I'm here and I'm a big field with all kind of crabgrass, or I'm a deep, dark cave and I just got a matchstick, that would be daunting. You hear, wow, man, I got to go and fix this? Man, I don't even know where to get. I can't see, really. Thank God for His Word. We talked about it last time that the Word of God is like a big beacon light shining in every corner. You go from a matchstick to a candle to a big beacon light that's exposing everything. That's the Word of God shining in our lives. And so we want to find out more about ourselves so we can walk in this status of being a new creation and live it out in Christ Jesus. One person said our union with Christ means we have access to infinite resources for healing and restoration. Boy, that's good news. We have access to infinite resources for healing and restoration. We all need it. Every single person in here, every single person in the world is going, they're approaching 8 billion people on the planet. Every single one needs healing and restoration in some area. I love the example here. Someone wrote, like a tracer chemical in the bloodstream that helps identify the disease, the identifying personality type can bring to the surface indicators of what might be motivating sinful or harmful actions and patterns. So when you put a tracer chemical in the bloodstream, it helps to identify what disease is happening in the body. It can. Well, it's saying here that the personality type can act like that tracer and bring to the surface indicators, because sometimes we don't know why we're continually motivated to do this sin, or why we are repeating these harmful actions, or why we're repeating these harmful patterns. Don't you get mad at yourself, like, man, I overate again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't believe this. You know, because after you finish overeating that day, you're like, I'm not going to never do this again. Next time you go out, you overate again. What is causing that? That's what this can do. Not just use eating. I mean, it can be anything. You getting angry so quickly. Road rage. Whatever it may be. Identifying who you are, who God has made you, the type of personality that God has given you, can bring to the surface indicators. Oh, when that button is pushed, I act like this. Or when this is said, I respond like this. It can, that indicator. And that's where you can pray, Lord, help me to see that, so that I don't end up doing the sinful and harmful patterns of behavior. Can you see how that's going to make you a better you? Walking more in the newness of life that you were called to. That's why we can go to Jesus, our sympathetic high priest. Thank you, Lord. Because he understands our struggles.
Amen.
Let's look at that in the Word of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Boy, that's good. We do not have. Well, if we don't have that, then what do we have? Well, we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Right? But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So whatever we're facing, he's faced. Verse 16. Therefore, remember 16 means to look back to 15.
You could also translate therefore with the phrase as a result of having a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of wrath? No, grace. That's good news. Why? Here's a purpose clause. So that we may receive, what do we need? Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Wow. So now this daunting task of going through the big cave known as our life, big dark cave with a matchstick, becomes less of a daunting task because you realize, you know what, I'm not in this by myself. I have the beacon light of God's word, I have the beacon light of God's mercy, and I have the beacon light of God's grace to help me in this time of need. That's good news. You can know who you are in Christ Jesus. And I keep adding that. This is not motivational speaking. It's not Dr. Phil, Oprah, and I'm dating myself, Maury Povich, or Montel, whatever the name was back in the day. Montel James? Williams. See, everybody knew that. See, you told on yourself. I mean, or Ayanla, fix my life. Only God can fix a life.
Amen.
Period. She said amen with the quickness because it's true. Amen. Good advice may take you only so far, but the word of God can take you all the way. Amen. Trusting in God's word, because the word of God is going to lead it back to God, whereas good advice leads it back to you, living out your authentic self rather than your new creation reality before God. And we have a high priest that can help us.
Amen.
He's a sympathetic high priest. Like, yeah, I've been there. I understand what you're going through. Come to me. Let me help. I got all kind of mercy. I got all kind of grace to help you. You're not in this by yourself. So I don't care how thick the field of your life, or how big and dark the cave of your life, using those two parables are. I got you. I got the lawnmower and the weed whacker for your field, and I got a big light for your cave. Amen. Nothing is too difficult for me.
Amen.
I got you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So be encouraged.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So that's beautiful. So we'll set up with this one more before we close. Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. He went through all that we went through, yet without sin. He can help us. Someone once wrote, Jesus Christ himself experienced the full range of human emotions that he did. He knew the anxiety of judgment at the cross that he did. He knew the shame of being exposed and abandoned in death that he did. He knew the guilt of becoming sin that he did. Now remember, I've got to say that. Becoming sin does not mean he sinned, right? He said, who knew no sin. Becoming sin means that our sin was laid on him. And that's the sin he carried to the cross on our behalf. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That sounds like the gospel from Sunday. If somebody is alert there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And we'll close right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He, my bad, Paul, I'm going a little too fast. Let me know what you get, Paul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. That's God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, see, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an unfair exchange. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness.
That's the gospel message. Jesus died, rose again the third day.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll pick up with the actual personality types as we've been, all that was introduction for what, 3 months? Something like that. So we'll actually begin with the personality type. We'll begin with A1. We'll call that A1. No rhyme or reason, just like that. We'll begin with, because you have that personality type, don't mean that you're A1. And better than a B2, amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your will, your word, your way. We thank you for your standard that has been set by the Holy Spirit. A standard which we could never follow apart from your strength to do so. Amen. But because we've been empowered, enabled, because we've been given the capacity, we can and we are expected to obey your commands. We have your word. We have your spirit. We have your grace, which I believe, if interpreted properly, is also your power to do so. As we continue to learn more about who we are as you made us, we will endeavor to walk in more and more of that newness of life as a new creature, a species of being that has never before existed. And Father, we will be careful. Give you and you alone all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. For unto you who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, you are the only wise God, our Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now, in time, and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, and every heart said, amen.